Okay, so starting the next Mishnah, Chaf Daled on Beis. Elu Hein HaPsulin. Okay, so these are the ones who are Pusul. Rashi says, Lodun Ulehayed. They're Pusul as judges and Edim. Okay, so let's get the list. Go ahead. Hamasachek Bikubio. So what is that? That's a gambler. The Malve Beribis, Umafriche Yonim, Visochre Shvius. Okay. So what are they basically? You got the gambler, one who lends with interest, and the pigeon chasers. What are those guys?
Oh, those. Can you explain those?
What are the, so what's the basic pshat here? Well, there's two pshatim on mafrichayana, right?
I remember the one you told us with the coop.
Right.
Like somebody would set up a coop and Rosh Hashanah.
Right. Right. So one pshat is it's another type of gambling, like pigeon racing. And the other pshat is they lure the pigeons away from their coop. Okay. But anyway, we'll have to see. And what is Osve, and what's Sochrei Shvius?
People that sell Shvius.
They sell Shvius? Okay, fine. So let's understand. Let's take Rashi. Go ahead. Now, what's the nature of these psulin, or of this grouping? So Rashi says, V'kulon me'ein gazlonenein. They're all like thieves. V'atora omra al toshes rosha, aid. V'kol shekein dayan. Alright, so what's the pasuk he's going on? Lo sisa shema shav al toshes yodcho im rosha lios aid chomos.
What does that mean?
Which part, the end?
Yes.
So it means you shouldn't join your hand with a Russia to be a violent witness. To be a chamas means like a
robbery.
Robbery, yeah. What's Rashi explaining here? He's trying to sum up all these cases. What is the psul in all these cases? They like gazlanim. So he puts it all on gazlanim. He puts it all on the fact that the person is—he's not learning. It's dafka. He's learning. All of these are like thieves, and thieves can't be dayanim. I worry them. Let's go a little further. Funny thing is, he doesn't mention the chamas. Right? He just mentions the rasha.
He leaves out a few words also in between.
Yeah. He leaves out yadcha im rasha. Alright, let's see, go a little further. He seems to fill in the blanks though as you go along, right? Go ahead. Sochrei Shvius. And what about Sochrei Shvius? I mean, how is he like a gazel? And what's his problem over here now?
He's stealing gods.
Right. So what does he say? He says, since his chimud mamon is ma'avira divrei Torah, Havale Kirosha de Chamas. Since his love of money caused him to transgress a Torah law, so he's like a Rosha de Chamas. And he's Pasul Ladon Elehead. Why? Because he likes money. He likes money.
I can see that.
Sone Betza, right? Dayan has to be Sone Betza. Hates the betza's money over here. Yeah, the pasuk says, "Va'ato techeze mikol ha'om anshe chayil yirei Elokim anshe emes sone botza, sone botza shesonin es mamonam bedin ki ahidar minan kol dayan de mafkin mamon minei bedina lav dayanu." Yeah, uncles. V'at techeze mikol ama gavrin dechela dachala dashem guvrin dekishot. That means truth. Disonon lekabola mamon. They don't like to take money. They don't like to take money. So they're not in it for the money. They have to be people who are, you know, a dayan doesn't take money to judge his cases. So Rashi's saying over here, person who is a dayan has to be disinterested in wealth. Can't be impressed by someone being rich and want to maybe get in his favor. You know what I mean? That's usually what happens. Someone who is, if a dayan has that quality of chimud mamon, that's what Rashi's saying over here. If he has the quality of chimud mamon, then that itself is a psul. So, and it's obvious why. So Rashi's saying over here, sochrei shvius, it's like a litmus test. If the guy is a sochrei shvius, so what does that show you? He's very interested in making money. He's so interested in making money that he'll be over in a sederaisa of mekach memkar with shvius, because shvius is only for eating, right? I think we did a little bit of this in the beginning of last year, that shvius is only for achila. Can't buy or sell shvius, and if you sell shvius, then the mamon has the kedusha shvius, right? It's tofes damim, and that money you can only use to buy food to eat with, and you have to treat that money like kedusha shvius. So shvius is not something for commercial use. It's only, it has only one purpose, and that is achila. Right. Other objects, they primarily might exist with a certain use, like a shoe. Right. You have a shoe, so the purpose of the shoe ultimately is to be worn. But in the meantime, its purpose is to make money. The shoe sell, the guy who owns a shoe store, doesn't relate to the shoe as something to be worn. He relates to the shoe as a way to make money. The wholesaler, the manufacturer, right? They don't try it on the shoes. They're happy. They're happy if they sell the shoes. They're not happy if people are wearing the shoes. They couldn't care less if people wear the shoes. So they really exist in a different framework of just commercial value. But shvius doesn't exist that way. Shvius only exists as an entity of achila. So if you would turn it into a mekach u'memkar, you'd be over an isser. And the din is that if you did sell it, that money must be used for achila. Right? If the shoe salesman had to buy shoes with the money he sells shoes for, that wouldn't work out too well. So that's the idea of shvius. So anyway, so the guy, this guy is, but there's an isser to sell the shvius anyway. So he's saying he loves money, so he's going to do, so what? So therefore, he's puzzled Lodun and Leid. He's interesting. The first Rashi, by the guy's Lanin, he just calls him a Rasha. Right? Here he calls him a Rasha de Chomas. See, the most of Rashi, this whole Gemara is quoted in Erevin. So there he says, Sochre Shvius, Osen Schor, Repair Shvius, Drachmana Omer, La'ochla, V'loschora. The Torah says it's for food, not for business. Uglefish and Nech should do call Elu, La'avoral dos Machmas Mamon. Since all of these people are over in the Torah because of money, Chashudam. Choshtum lios me'idim sheker ayidei mamon v'shochad. So they're susceptible. We see these people are susceptible to what? To selling out for the money. They're not people of principle. They're people of principle and interest. They're not people of. They're not ideal. They're not. They're not. Committed to an ideal. If money comes along, things look differently when money comes along. Okay.
How's it different than a regular gazlan, like the mesachik the kubios?
Well, that's a good question. That's a good question.
You guys are usually loners, I think.
We'll get to that. Rashi gets to that later. Okay. Oh, it's interesting. It's two pshatim. Oh, the Rachmana Omar Laochla Voleschora Vizeh Shechomed Mamon Lavar Aver Ala Mamon Rasha Hu Vatora Omar Al Toshas Rasha Aid. He's playing with these two possibilities. It's interesting. Rashi is. And what does it say by the Gezel? He says. I mean, by the other one, he says. Amalva Baribis. Oh, he says Alien Apsulin Laedas De Kulan Gazlana Midivramein. Yep. And therefore, well, here he says they're me'ain gazlanim. He doesn't call them all. He doesn't say they're really gazlanim.
Right.
But what is Rashi learning? Is he learning the psul of gazlanim comes down to what? It reveals a certain character trait of you don't have integrity. You don't have integrity. You're viable, right?
So that's not a guy who's good on a for din.
You lack a certain objective. You lack a certain commitment to an ideal. So that's what din and adis is about: giving over the objective facts and making an objective determination. You can't have somebody who's susceptible to being swayed by mammon. In other words, but what's the question is, what's the difference between Russia and what he calls Aid Hamas? What does he call the guy before, later?
Russia the Hamas.
Russia the Hamas. See, that's a little bit of the Gemara gets into that later. The Gemara gets into that later. Like I said, guys, over Stamen Issa, there's nothing to do with mammon.
Like something he's called Malchus for.
Right. So we hold that's also a psul. We hold it's also a psul. Yeah, the Ram has it. We hold that's also a psul. Right, the Gemara has an interesting question later on. It says, let's say a guy is on Chav Zayinam, the Gemara says, a mumar ochel nevelos the teyavon. Right, so let's say a guy loves, he eats nevela le teyavon. He does it, now what's the difference between the guy, how do you know, what does it mean the guy eats it le teyavon? So Rashi says divrei are called posel. Why? Because the kaven de mishum mamon ko'ovid. Right. Now, it doesn't mean he eats nevela. Nevela doesn't taste better than shluta. But it means it's cheaper. So or shluta is not available. So it's easier to get the nevela. So if he eats the nevela because it's easy to get and it's cheaper, then he's posel edus. Gemara says everybody agrees he's posel edus. Why? So Rashi says the kaven de mishum mamon ko'ovid tashchiach bezul tvei midetera havele karasha de chomas uposel edus. So he's a certain kind of a Russia. What kind of a Russia? Russia de chomas. A Russia de chomas means what? We need a good definition. We need a good translation. Chomas is hard to translate over here. It doesn't mean like violence.
No.
Okay. I mean, Uncle's just says sheker. He calls it sheker, chamas.
Oh,
but
so it's like thievery and like stealing.
But right, you're saying it means susceptible to bribes, thievery and stealing.
I'm just getting.
What does it say? What does it say in Bereishis?
In Bereishis, when it says "vatimolerot chamas,"
right? That means gezel. That means gezel.
Yeah.
Yeah. Rashi says "vatimolerot chamas gezel." Gezel. Yeah.
He uses that lashon here also though. With
But anyway, so that's the question. If the guy is a cheapskate and he's over in Isser Nevela because he's cheap, then he's definitely puzzle. Because he doesn't mean that he has to, doesn't mean Gezo. Doesn't necessarily mean Gezo. Right? You don't say the guy who buys the cheaper meat, he buys Nevela because it's cheaper, he's considered an Eid Chomos. He's not stealing from anybody. Don't give me that stealing. But the question the Gemara asks is, what if the guy is over in Isser Ochel Nevela Slahachis? That's what the Gemara says. So is that the Machlokas? Because that doesn't have to do with money. So that's what the Gemara says. He's a Rasha. There's two things. There's Rasha and then Chomos. That's the way the Rambam breaks it up. Right? But what's the chamas over here? So it means to say that he sets aside rules and law in favor of money, right? I know it's an awkward. It's not a good definition, but it's a good description.
He lives his life by money.
But who's the victim
meaning to
of
say,
that test?
Meaning,
I don't
know. Nope, it doesn't matter. That's what I'm saying. The point is not that the guy's a Goslin. The point is not that the guy. No, is we have. How do you universalize Goslin and guy who buys meat, treif meat, because it's cheaper? They're both expressions of a certain type of a person that will bend his will bend the rules in favor of money, or he disregards law in favor of money. A thief doesn't a ganer for a gazlan means that he wants it. He doesn't want to recognize the law of your property ownership because he's very interested in the money, right? So he disregards the law in the favor of money. So too the guy is ochel nevelas l'teavon. He knows the halacha is that you have to have shechuta, but because of the money, he disregards the law. Right? So that type of a person, we're saying, that's the eighth chamas. His allegiance to law and order can't be altered by money, to be a judge or a dayan. Can't be susceptible, can't be venal, in other words. I mean, this category of psul is it means that he is right. It's a psul because he's susceptible to being swayed by money. Now, does that mean we're really worried each guy is going to be bribed? No, but that doesn't represent a din. You have to represent din. You have to be a person of justice in order to be a dayan or an aid. So if you're but what about the guy who's a who's just stama ochel? I mean, doesn't that seem strange to you? Guy's ochel nevelos l'teyavon is worse than the guy's ochel nevelos l'achas. I mean, that guy is completely doesn't care about the din.
Weren't they both pasalitas?
So it's a machlokas though. But there's a machlokas about that. Rava says he's kosher because he's not an eid chomas. He's not a rasha de chomas.
You're saying it seems worse.
Seems worse.
It's
I mean, lahachas means the guy just doesn't care about the halach at all. That's what lahachas means.
But that doesn't mean he doesn't care about justice.
In other words, we're saying that it's worse to be the eid, the guy who's ochel nevela l'teyavon is worse. It is worse. Why? Because Meir's saying it. Because we see his judgment is clouded. He's susceptible to some sort of rationalization with regards to din, to rules. A guy who's lahaches, he's honest about it. He says, "I just don't like this halacha." He's not twisting his perception of things. He's not making excuses for himself. He's not saying it's okay because this or that. He's saying, I don't like the Issa Nevelos. I don't agree with it. It doesn't have a chelik alam haba, But he's not corrupting his mind. In other words, that's Rasha de Chomas means it's a certain qualification of a certain type of a Rasha.
Right.
Right. So in terms of Rishas per se, you might say the guy who's Ochel Nevelos Lahaches, in terms of Din Torah, is a bigger Rasha. Right? He's a bigger Rasha. No? No, we don't hold that way. We hold they're both postulators. But we're just trying to say, but the fact is it is a machlokas, and the fact is it seems to be for two different reasons. So we're just trying to clarify the different reasons for the psul of the Edom. So we're saying that if the person is one psul is that what? One psul is that he's that in that because of money he is loose with the law. Right? Because of money he's loose with the law. He makes exceptions. He makes he gives himself he's like Mora Hetel Atzmo in terms of when it comes to money. So he lacks a certain objective view. Right? Isn't that what I'm trying to say? He lacks a certain objective view. The money is basically a form of temptation. And the two types of people. I mean, sometimes people recognize an ideal, they recognize a principle, and they keep to that principle, and they won't be swayed from that principle. Okay? Other people recognize the principle. This is the point I'm trying to make, Matt. They recognize the principle, but they don't adhere to it strictly because other things tempt them. Right? Things tempt them. If you ask them, is it wrong to steal? Is it wrong to do this? I mean, they know that what? I mean, according to Rashi, let's say the Socher Shvius, they know that so that it's also to do. Right? But the Chimud Mamon is Mavir al Devei Torah. Well, the guy is Ochel Nevelos L'Teovon. He knows it's wrong, and if the shchuta was exactly the same price, he would buy the shchuta. That's one of the tests of the person's status. If he's lahaches, he dafka buys the nevela, even if the shchuta is available at the same price. If he's l'teavon, he only will buy the nevela when he can't because he can't afford the shchuta, right? So what type of person is that? It means he recognizes an ideal of shchuta. But he can't adhere to it because of Mammon. Right? So his principles, it's not a matter of that he doesn't adhere, it's not a matter that he doesn't accept the din, but he doesn't follow through with it because of he's susceptible to temptation. Mammon is the universal temptation, is one of the big temptations, and he's susceptible to temptation. But the guy who's lahaches, that's different. That's different. He has a corrupt principle, but he doesn't mean he's swayed. That's a different type of thing. So as long as we know he's not corrupt in this area, then we can take him in this area. I mean, if we know the guy doesn't believe in din, that of course would be a problem. But in general, we say a mumr lo davar echad is not a mumr to other things. We know a guy is a mumr to one thing, doesn't make him a mumr to other things. You can trust him on other things.
So he's a mumr lo davar echad. That says he is puzzled.
Oh, I'll have to get to that. But no, it's one is that he lacks in the function of din and edus, and that is to be true to the principle of din, or of to be true to the principles of din. So a person is not someone who's true to principles because he's susceptible to temptation, then that's one psalm. And that's what Rashi seems to say is all of the psulim in this Mishnah. Right? All of the psulim in this Mishnah come down to that type of an issue. Okay, so you have the history over here. Then you have, but what about the Mesachik Bekubi? Rashi doesn't explain what the problem with that guy is, right? But let's take the end of the Mishnah. Omar Rabbi Yehuda. So now Rabbi Yehuda says, when is this true? When are these people psulin? Yeah, but what's it going back on, really? We say it's really going back on the on the gambler, on the Masachik Bekubi guy. Okay. So when is he possible? When he has no other profession. But anyway, so what is the difference? So what does it mean? What is Rashi saying? She'ain lo umnas elahu. This is his profession. He's a professional gambler. So why is that a problem? I mean, what's the problem? I mean, either it's because of he's over Isser, or I mean, you do Isser and Heter together, doesn't make the doesn't sanitize the Isser. Right. Go ahead. So Rashi says that according to what's Rabbi Yehuda saying. I mean, I think the Gemara says it's only talking about the Masachik Bekubia. But it means to say, because he holds it's not an Isser. So, but it's a different psul. This is not the same psul as Eid Chamas, that he's susceptible to temptation. This is a guy who just doesn't know the ways of the world. He doesn't know the ways of the world. Professional gambler doesn't know anything about the Masuman. He's not involved in Yishuvo Shel Olam. But that's not a psul, Rashi learned. Rashi learned not, it's not a psul to be a bum. Right? The problem is, you're just not in the, you don't have any shimush in the way deals go down. You don't know about business, you don't know about agreements, you don't know about responsibilities. That's not your thing. So you're not capable of, you're not even a hedyot. Right? Hedyot means maybe you don't know specific dinim, but you'll be taught, and you know the framework. You have the framework of a kinyan and an agreement and responsibilities. But the gambler, he doesn't understand anything. He just doesn't understand it. But then Rashi adds in one other thing: ve'einon yorei chet. Interesting. So what's the ve'einon yorei chet? But since he's not a Yarei Chet, he's also not going to be concerned to really learn about it. He's a regular guy, maybe he doesn't know, but you can trust him that he's going to take it seriously and make sure that he figures out and understands what he needs to understand. But these people are just they're not. They don't know anything, and they're not interested, and they don't care about any consequences. You say like a day trader or something. Marquis, is he involved in Yishuv Olam? So according to Rashi, he is, because he doesn't really mean he's not involved in. Oh, okay. We'll analyze it on two levels. Mm-hmm. First of all, is that itself Yishuv Olam? So there's an argument that it is Yishuv Olam. What's the argument that it is Yishuv Olam? What does the day trader contribute to society?
What affects the market, no?
Liquidity. Mm-hmm. Now, it's the difference between a thinly traded something that you... liquidity means that you want to be able to get in and out of a market, right? There are people who really want to own things. So then they have to be able to get in and out of the market. They have to be able to buy and sell, right? So if there are a lot of buyers and sellers, it reduces the cost. It always possible, and it reduces the cost of the transaction.
If you're adding people who are really Yishuv Olam.
So you're adding to Yishuv Olam. You're part of the financial system to work well has to have a certain amount of liquidity. But anyway, if you don't buy that argument, it doesn't really matter, because Rashi's learning the psul of not being involved in Yishuv Olam means that you're not involved in any type of masuman. So you're not accustomed. You don't know anything about how the world works. Mm-hmm. So here, a person is a regular part of society. He's not like a traveling gambler. Right. Not like in those days, the guy who was a gambler was really on the fringe of society. Right. Here, a guy could be a balabas.
Is the inner yirechit just a qualifier of that whole statement?
I think he's trying to paint the picture of a certain kind of a guy. He's like a vagabond. A hobo. The reason is he's totally out of society, and he's not. He has no sense of masuman. He's not. He's not shaykh to the whole subject matter of. Its din comes about because certain real things happen in the world. There are businesses. There are transactions. He's not shayach to any of those phenomena that generate din. So he has no basis to even understand what's going on. He has no basis to make decisions.
I mean,
what right does Rashi have to say that the gambler is not another Yarei Chet?
Well,
I mean, it's a good question. How does he know that these guys are not Yarei Chet?
Right. Okay.
Maybe they go to Minyan and they go gambling. Well,
that's why I was thinking.
But I think, what does it mean he's not a Yarei Chet? It means to say that he's not. What does it mean to be a Yarei Chet? It means he's afraid of Chet. Right? So that means to say that he recognizes the possibility of a person who recognizes the good of Torah and mitzvot would live in a certain way that would prevent occurrences that would require him to, that would lead him away from Torah and mitzvot. So we have to have a person who's a gambler. He's not involved in Yeshiva Olam. He's basically has no set course for his life, and he's just going to follow the whatever, wherever he goes. He's not planning for his future. He's not doing anything to any stability. So he basically is not concerned not only with Yeshiva, he's not concerned with Yeshiva Olam, but he's not really concerned with the direction that his life takes based on the vagaries of life. I mean, things change, things go up and down. He's not setting any type of any type of course for his life. Like the Gemara says, you have to teach your kid the numnus. If you don't teach your kid the numnus, you're basically setting him up to be a thief along the road, down the road. So how's he going to survive? So that's what I think. That's what he means over here. He's not a person who's committed to ensuring that his life is a life of Torah and mitzvos. He has no source of stability. So that itself is anyone who chooses that kind of a lifestyle can't really be committed to ideals, because ideals require certain setting. Like that's what we say, the Ram says, that's what the klolos are. The klolos are that you're going to have to be involved in busy work to make sure you have enough food, and you're not going to have time to do anything. So a guy who's living this type of a life, he has to travel from town to town, and they're not always welcome where they are too long, and you understand. So he's not considered to be a Yarei Chet. Can't be.
Concept of chet.
Because if a person were a Yarei Chet, he would set up his life in a way that he would not fall into situations that are going to cause him tremendous stress and tremendous hardship. That's what makes most people get down into chet. I mean, necessity. Perceived necessity. Yeah. No. See, I'm saying the Rashi is not saying he is a chote. He's saying he's not a Yarei Chet. Yarei Chet means you foresee that possibility and you take steps ahead of time. Okay, so Rashi says the whole Mishnah is really dealing with. It's funny. Rashi says kulon, right? Except for the last case. So Rashi is learning that all of these cases are what are people who have a susceptibility to temptation that they don't have a strict adherence to principle. And they're open to certain temptation, and the money indicates that the fact that they're over issa for money. So therefore,
are you saying it's temptation in general, not just specifically money?
Because I'm not sure if it's really we're worried the guy's going to be bought off. I know that's what the Rashi sounds like in Erevin, but
I'm not saying that either.
Yeah,
I'm just saying could be if he only has this lack of backbone when it comes to money.
Right, but is it a money thing, or is it the fact that he has a lack of backbone?
Yeah, lack of backbone.
Right.
Do you imagine only being in money?
Well, money is a big temptation.
I guess so. But he might resist other temptations when it comes to his principles, but not when it comes to money.
Right.
I don't know if that guy would be fussing or not.
Right. But the I'm saying, is it a problem that he likes money, or is it a problem that he
has no backbone when it comes to money? He'll do anything when money comes.
He'll do anything when it comes to money.
You can imagine that guy would have a stronger backbone when it comes to other temptations.
Okay, but the question is, what does that have to do with being a judge and an aide? Is it because
just that's better money, that guy and the guy is a plus aide.
I mean, that sounds like the two possibilities in Rashi and Erevin, right? One, he says, is Choshtum Lios Me'idim Sheker Aydei Malman V'Shochad. That since we see, notice, what is really the issue of here? Is it that they'll do things for money? So then, that means that someone can buy them off. Right? Someone can buy them off. Right? So it's just like he might eat nevelos for money, so maybe he'll tell a lie for money. Right? Or is it the other way, like Rashi says in the O, Derachmona Amar Lachla Vololeschor, Vizeshachomin Mammon, Lavor Vera, La Mammon, Roshahu, Vatora Amra, Altashis, Rosha Aid. Now, it's a certain kind of a person. If a person will violate the Isser because of money, so then he's lacking in righteousness. He's lacking in his ideals. He's lacking in his commitment to ideals. That makes him unacceptable for din. Din is equal to objective. Din has to be a principle. In order to be involved in din, you have to be a principled person. Because that's what din is. Mm-hmm. That's what din is. The other way is the practical thing. We're worried that if money can tempt you to do something, so maybe money will tempt you to lie. It's like a practical thing.
Yeah, that's
but it still is a category.
The psul over there is that you are susceptible to being bribed. I mean, the psul is that you're venal. Now, is there a therefore involved in that? You say, since you did this, therefore you may be bribed too. Because you've already shown your propensity to do things for money, so maybe you'll do something here for money. Or do we say no? There's no therefore. It's just a certain kind of a person has to be involved in this system. You have to be a person of principle in order to be involved in the system of objective principles.
Isn't that
can't the stand in judgment if you yourself are not principled.
I
mean, the first way is we're worried about we're not getting the truth. Right? So maybe he's bribed. We're worried about not getting the truth.
Right.